Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Chafei Sivan. Happens to be the Yahrzeit of my father-in-law, whose name was Rabbi Yishaya Shapiro. The family name was not Shapiro, but in Poland, that was the practice in order not to be drafted into the army. So each son would take a different family name. And the government never caught on. And if you were a Ben Yochid to your family, they wouldn't draft you in the army. So there were a few brothers, and each one had a different family name. They're not sure. The family doesn't even remember exactly what the original name was, but they remember it was not Shapiro. My father-in-law learned for quite a few years in the Miri Yeshiva in Europe. And then Reb Shimon Shkop requested of the Mashgiach Reb Yeruchim Levovitz. For many years he was the Mashgiach, and after he passed away, then it was Rab Chatzko Levenstein. My father-in-law was not there then. So Rab Shimon Shkop requested of the Mashgiach he should send a Bacher who knows how to write well to rewrite his Sefer Shari Yosher. So he sent my father-in-law. My wife and her sisters didn't even know about that until after I got engaged. And then all the rabbis and why you told me, oh, Rabbi Yishaya Shapiro, he's the one who wrote to Shari Yosha. So I took my wife out on a date then. We were just engaged, and she didn't know. And she asked her father, so he told her, that's correct. He stayed there by Rab Shimon almost 2 years, I think. And he rewrote the Sefer. I remember Rabbi Gifter once told over a story at one of the family Simchas. Rabbi Gifter's son is married to my wife's sister, one of the sons married to my wife's sister. So my father-in-law had already passed away. Rabbi Gifter told over a story that when my father-in-law agreed to go to Reb Shimon to rewrite to Shari Yosha, so he said he's not going to go just to work on a manuscript. He only agrees to go if Reb Shimon will give him a private shiur every day on the chapter that he wants him to rewrite. So my father-in-law would prepare it in advance. He would look through all the Gemaras and see what Reb Shimon had to say. And then Reb Shimon would tell it over to him, Baal Peh, and then he would put everything all together and rewrite it. So on one occasion, my father-in-law said to Reb Shimon, he doesn't understand at all. A certain chapter doesn't make sense. Rabbi Gifter said he didn't remember which chapter it was in the Shari Yosha. One chapter didn't make sense at all. Couldn't make out heads or tails. Couldn't figure out anything. So Reb Shimon looked at it, and my father-in-law told him what he didn't understand. Reb Shimon looked at it, couldn't make out heads or tails either. But he said at the time that he wrote it, it was so crystal clear, so he asked him to do the best that he can, even though he didn't understand. I think it's the Shari Yosha has a chapter where he interprets a very strange Gemara, the end of Beitzah. Gemara says one of the Amoraim went to Eretz Yisrael, and they were laughing at him the way he was talking and learning. On the Mishnah, if a woman bakes a cake and she took a different ingredient from different each person, one person gave her the water, one person gave her the flour, one person gave her the vanilla flavoring, one person gave a different flavoring, everybody gave something else. So it has, you're only allowed to carry it in the area that's the tchum yanta for all the people. It has everybody's tchum lachum, if each person has a different tchum. Usually all the people live in the same city, have the same tchum, but sometimes if some of the people made an area, they're tchum in different directions, you have to be machmer to everybody's tchum. So the Gemara has a whole discussion there. Why don't you say that all of the ingredients that are less than 50% should be bottled barayv, and only you should only have the tchum of the flour. The flour is more than 50%. All the other ingredients are less than 50%. So why don't you say bittel barayv? So it's a very strange Gemara. The Pnei Yeshua says it's like a riddle. The way the whole Gemara is presented, it's like a debate back and forth, and it's like a riddle. The Rishonim say it's like a riddle, like a chida stuma. So Reb Shimon Shkop has a whole chapter on that. I thought that didn't make any sense. I could make out heads or tails from that chapter. Maybe it's a different chapter. I don't know. So there is an old minig that on a yahrzeit, where Mechabed the Nifter, I think on the end of the first parak in Bava Kamma, quotes a pasuk from Dira Yomim. When Chizkiyahu HaMelech died, they were mechabed him very much. We covered Gadol Asa Lo B'Yom Oso. What's the covered Gadol? So Gemara said, Malamit Shehoshiva Yeshiva Al Kivro. They dedicated the learning in his memory. So I dedicate the learning today in memory of my father-in-law, who's the Yartzeit it is today. He died, I think, 39 years ago. It's a long time ago. I don't know if this year is going to be that special, but we'll discuss what we're up to. So the Gemara on Tzadik Amid Aleph, we just started the Perek Yid Anoshe. Gemara on Tzadik Amid Aleph quotes the last Mishnah in the Perek, which is printed here in our Gemara on Kuf Amid Beis, where there's a machlokes between Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim, where the Yid Anoshe is noig only behemoth Torah or even in the behemoth Tmeo. Let's say Yid Anoshe of an elephant or a horse or a donkey or a mule. So we paskin is only noig b'Torah. Because the Pasuk, the Gemara says, why? It's not because Ein Yisr Chal Alis, not because the Yisr Gid Anoshe can't be Chal on top of the Yisr Temeo, because there's a Machloikas later in this Perek, which we already discussed, whether Yesh Begin Menais and Tam or Ein Begin Menais and Tam. So that's in the Mishnah on Tzadik Vav on the base. So the Mishnah on Tzadik Vav on the base assumes that yesh begid midais and tam, that if you cook the big piece of meat and you left the gid anoshe in, so it's going to be nice and tam, and if you don't have shishim against the tam, it'll asim. And we paskan against that mishnah. We paskan ain begid midais and tam. The gid, it has a little bit of tam, but that's not sufficient to be considered tam. And because ain begid midais and tam, so therefore gid is not dina kibosa. These two dinim are totally zeb zeb. If the din would have been like the Mishnah, yesh begid minais and tam, the gid would be considered dina kibosa. Since we don't paskin like the Mishnah, we paskin ein begid minais and tam, so it doesn't have a din of bosa at all. So it's like karnaim and gidim and tlofim, parts of the animal that are not the bosa. So to have an iser behemoth tmeyo, let's say if you eat flesh of an elephant or horse or a donkey, so besar behemoth tmeyo means a non-kosher animal. Psar behemoth tmeyo is also. But if you take the horn of the behemoth tmeyo, you take the hooves of the behemoth tmeyo, and you grind it up and you swallow it, that's not the minatara, that's not included in the yisim. It's not mem derabbanan, there's probably an yisim. It doesn't say beferish, it says by basa b'cholov. It's also mem derabbanan. Potter avalosa, it's also mem rabbanan. So mistama hu adenami, just like kanaim egidim etlofim, is dinuki basa mem derabbanan, the mistama is dinuki basa by behemoth tmeyo as well. But on the level of the rice, it's not dina kibosa. So if you're going to eat the gid hanosha of a behemoth tmeyo, it's not an issue of any isa chalalisa, because since ain the gid menasim tam, there's no isa behemoth tmeyo on minatoyra. There's no isa behemoth tmeyo on the gid, because it's not dina kibosa. It's like hanayim utlofim. So the reason why we paskin gid hanosha is not noig behemoth tmeyo, it's not because ain isa chalalisa, that the isa gid, the gid develops later. The animal first develops inside when it's a fetus, inside the rechem of its of the mother. So first the animal develops and has an isa behemoth tmeyo, and then the gid develops later. Part of the flesh turns into a gid. That's how Tosfos explains. So it's not because ain isa chalalisa, because farket, the way we paskin aim the gid midais and tam, it's not dina kibosa. So it's for a different reason, the Gemara says, on after that Mishnah, on the top of Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. The reason why Gid Anoshe is not Noeg B'Tmeya is because the Chumash says, Al-Kein Le'ach says Gid Anoshe, it's only talking about an animal, where the whole animal is Muta Bachila, and then the Gid Anoshe is also like Chelev. Chelev is also. But if the whole animal is the whole animal is also Bachila, so the Torah isn't talking about such an animal. So I was only talking about a behemoth Torah. That's why we raised the issue. The Shah Melech raises the issue, and Minchas Chinuch quotes it. What about Gid Anoshe by Adam? So the Shah Melech says it should probably, Minchas Chinuch quotes it, and the Shah Melech should probably depend on the Machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, whether Besar Adam has an Iser essay. The Rambam has a Chiddush that to be a cannibal, to eat, talking about eating flesh from a dead person. So Mesei Yisrael HaRosa Bahano, so that's Avada Yinavlata, but let's say Mesei Akum. So the Pashtas and all the Gemara says that Mesei Akum is Muta Bahano, either Ramo and Yeridei and Hilchas Kvura. at the end of the Yeridei have all the dinim of Avelus, have dinim of Rufua. Then if this doctor is not successful and the patient dies, the dinim of Meis and Kvura and Shiv and Shloshim and Avelus and everything. So over there, the Ramah writes in Hilchus Kvura that Meisei Akam are also Asabano. So the Vilna Gaon quotes all the Rayas from the Gemara that it's really Mutabano. So they quote the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that it's only a chumra from the Rishonim. Ikra din Meisei Akam are really Mutabano, but it's a chumra from the Rishonim not to get any hano from. So what about Bachila? Is it Mutabachila also? So the Rambam holds that the Bisar Odom is an Issa Esse, because it says in the chumra, Zos habe mashetachelo, you're only allowed to eat flesh from an animal that's malager, mafis parsa, and oifis, and so on. And if it doesn't fall into this category, so there's an Issa Esse. The other Rishonim disagree. The Hagam Mishnah quotes the Ramban disagree. So how can it be? If Bisar Adam has an Iser Esei, then Cholav Isha should be a Yotzei Min HaTamei Tamei. Like if you have Cholav from a pig, Cholav from a Behemoth Tamei. So there's a din of Bas HaYa'ano. Bas HaYa'ano, the Gemara asks, Ya'ano is an ostrich. Only a female ostrich is us, a male ostrich is Mutter. There is no such din. Any bird that the female is us, the male is also us. So why does it say Bas HaYa'ano? Gemara says, no, Bas HaYa'ano means Beitza Saif Tamei. If the ostrich lays an egg, and not only is the ostrich also, the Yetzim and Atami is also also. From that pasuk of Basayana, we learn that Cholov of the Behemoth Tmeya is also Bachila. We spoke about the Dam of a Trefa. Dam of an Avela, Dam is not Bechlal Basa, Tosis says. It doesn't have an Issa and Avela. Let it be Yetzim and Ha'asa. No. The Dam was developed in the animal while it was still alive. After it dies, when it becomes an avela, it doesn't produce any more dam. All the body functions cease to function. It's not going to be developing any more dam. All the dam is developed while the animal was alive. So the dam of an avela can't be also because of Yetz Min HaTamei, but dam of a trefa. Animal could have been a trefa for the last month, and it's developing dam. So dam of a trefa will be a Yetz Min HaTamei tummy. That'll be an Issa Deraisa. And even though Dam Shebishlo is only the Rabbanon, that's what we said, Rab Chaim Paskin, and it's in the Prima Godim, and Hanhogas Hashav V'Hanishal. The only time you say Dam Shebishlo, there's no Yisad Derais, it's only the Rabbanon, that's if you're talking about the Yisad Dam. So you say Dam Shebishlo is Moel HaBosar. But if it's Dam of a Behemoth Tmeya, or Dam of a Behemoth Trefo, and it's also Meitam Yotzim and Atam Meitamei, so that doesn't help if you're going to cook it. Let's say you have milk from a pig and you cook the milk. The milk doesn't become kosher. So if you have dam from a pig, the dam is also Yotz Min HaTamei Tamei. So if you cook the milk, so if you cook the dam, it won't have an Issa Dam. Dam Shebishla is Moel HaBosa. There's no Issa Dam. There's no Koris. But we still have the Issa of Yotz Min HaTamei Tamei. So the... Machlokes Hatanoim and the last mission in the Perek. And we pasken la locha and kufa and base, we pasken that Gid HaNasha is not noigin behemoth meyer. And Rav Yudah disagrees and he argues, he says that Gid HaNasha is noig. He doesn't agree with Rav Shimon that the simple reading of the, we'll see. You see, what about the mashmas that Rav Shimon has? Simple reading of the pasuk is that Gid HaNasha only applies to an animal where the rest of the animal is mutter. And the Gid HaNasha is also. But if the whole animal is also, then the Torah is not speaking about such an animal. So what about that mashmas? So Rav Yudah says, that's not correct. He says in the Mishnah, Halam ibn Yankif Nasa Gid HaNasha. The Gemara's Lashon is that Gid HaNasha was Nasa to B'nei Noyach. From the days of Yankif Avinu, it says in Parshas Vayishlach that the Malach fought with the Yankif Avinu, he broke his leg. And Akein Liyochum and Esau's Gid HaNasha. So there's a machloik, the simple pshat in the machloik is between Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim is, when was the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha given? So Rabbi Yudah says it was given right after the Malach broke his leg. It was Nesel Ibn Yankif. And at that time, they were still permitted to eat elephant's meat and horse meat and donkey's meat. So even if you hold that the mashmas of the pasuk is, you're not allowed to eat Gid HaNasha of an animal where the rest of the animal is kosher, you can't eat the Gid HaNasha. Fine, in the days of Yankov Avinu, all the non-kosher animals were mutter b'achila. So the Torah prohibited eating Gid HaNasha from an elephant and from a horse and from a donkey. then after the Torah was given, so now the rest of the animal is, the rest of the horse and the pig is also b'achilus. And now you're going to say that the din changed. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the din didn't change since Kodem Matan Torah, the din of Gidonosh applied even to a behemoth tmeya, because Adayin behemoth tmeya by Nesra Lahem. So since initially when the mitzvah was given, it applied even to a behemoth tmeah, so the din still applies even b'zman hazeh. So the simple pshat in the machlokes satanaim is that the chachamim, the Rabbi Yehuda, disagree. They hold that the mitzvah gidonosha was not given till after matan Torah. Aye, but it says it in Parshas Vayishlach. No, it's put over here. You should know what the historical background of the din is. Why did the Rabbanu Shalom prohibit gidonosha? Because we should remember this story. What's so important about remembering this story? That Klal Yisrael is lamayla min ha-teva. The malachim represent teva. And when there's a fight between Klal Yisrael and teva, so Klal Yisrael survive. Klal Yisrael win. Individual people do lose their lives over throughout all the generations. Individual Jews were killed in pogroms, and millions and millions and millions of Jews were killed by the Nazis and under the communists. Many, many millions. The communists. Stalin killed more people than Hitler did, just in order to stay in office. He killed more people, but the Klal Yisrael as a nation is lamayla min ha-teva. According to the Chuki HaTeva, Klal Yisrael should have disappeared already. And we're still around. So the simple pshat in the Machlokes HaTanoim is, when was the mitzvah of Gidon Asher given? Was it really given in the days of Yaakov Avinu? Was it given later at Har Sinai? And it's only written here. We should know the background. We should know what the mitzvah is all about. The Rambam we mentioned when we started, the Rambam does not understand like that, because the Rambam quotes a Bereshis Rabbah. That originally there were six mitzvahs until after the Mabul, Noach was permitted to eat meat. He had to be, human beings had to be vegetarians till after the Mabul. After the Mabul, they were allowed to eat meat, and then they were given the din of Eivim and Achai. So then it became Sheven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's why we call it Sheven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, because until the days of Noach, there were only six mitzvahs. The six were given to the Marishim. The Gemara understands from that pasuk that the six mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon, but Eiv Menachai was not given because he had to be a vegetarian. So the Rambam quotes this Medrash Rabbah that the world had Sheva mitzvahs ben Arayach until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given one additional mitzvah, namely Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, the ability to be mafrish trumas. Because it says that when he went down to Gush Katif, when he went down to Chebel Aza, Vayizri Yitzchak Barat Zahiv Imtza Meir Sharim, Vayivarcheu Hashem. What do you mean, Meir Sharim? It grew 100 times more than what he thought was going to grow. Why did he make a cheshbon? So Rashi quotes, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash, he was making a calculation and Oimed Lamaisris. How much Maisa does he think will have to be Mafish? And it turned out he gave 100 times as much, because it grew Meir Sharim. Despite the fact that it wasn't there itself proper, it was only Gush Katif, and despite the fact that it was a Shnas Batzoris, there was Bahira Ba'aretz, there was a famine there. Nonetheless, it grew 100 times more than he expected it to grow. So you see, the Chazal saw in that pasuk that Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah of the ability to be Mafrish Maisus, and Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gidon Asher. What is the Medrash trying to bring out? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that we say Bizakhatis BC Yaakov, Afriz BC Yitzchok, Afriz BC Abraham Eskar, Bahoritz Eskar, the Pasuk at the end of the Techecha in Parshas Bechukaisai. So you see that there was a Krisis Bris, a separate Krisis Bris with Abraham, with Yitzchok and Yaakov. Krisis Bris al Pipashtas means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Kedushas Yisrael. So Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushana b'mitzvaysa v'tzivonu. So why was there a need for a separate Bris with Yitzchok and a separate Bris with Yaakov? They needed a separate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to make a bris with Avraham Avinu because he was given an additional mitzvah, Kedushana b'mitzvah sevitzivanu. A bris means Kedushas Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushana b'mitzvah sevitzivanu. So if there's a separate bris with Yitzchak, you have to assume that Yitzchak had an additional mitzvah, and Brisa Yaakov, there's an additional mitzvah given to Yankov Avinu. So each one of the others had a, Yitzchak had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael than Avram Avinu had, and Yankov had even a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. The Mishnah Melech, in the first essay in the Parashas Drachim, in Sefer Andrush, so all Agadita, all Midrashim and Agadita's from Gemaris. So in the first long essay, Derech HaSarim, he presents a machlokes between the Ramban HaChumash at the end of Parshas Hamor and the Balei HaTosfos, whether the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah had a din of Yisrael, had a din of Bnei Nachzerav. So Leitchik liked the compromise sheet that he doesn't have. Achreinim, later Achreinim have a compromise sheet. Did the Ovis Avram Yitzchak, did they have a Kedushas Yisrael or not? Rav Soloveitchik thought to the extent that they had a chiyuv mitzvah, to that extent they had a Kedushas Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu had a partial Kedushas Yisrael because he was only given one additional mitzvah of Bris Milo. Yitzchak Avinu, Zachar Tesbisi, Yitzchak had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael because he had an additional mitzvah, the ability to be Mafresh Maisus, and Yaakov Avinu had even a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. Until later, when they were in Mitzrayim, they were given additional mitzvahs, and then in Mara, and then Har Sinai was the full Kedushas Yisrael, because they were given all of the Taryag mitzvahs. So the Rambam quotes that Bereshis Rabbah. The Ravid is massing on the Rambam, as if it's the Rambam made it up. The Rambam is just quoting from the Medrash Rabbah. The Ravid is massing. Why did the Rambam say Yitzchak Yifrish Maisus? Avraham Avinu already gave Maisa, because it says after the war between the five kings and the fourth king, and the four kings, Malkitzedek Melech Shalom Hotzi Lech Mayam Hu Kahin Lekel Olyon, and Rashi says that was Shem Ben Noyach, and he had a yeshiva, the yeshiva Shem B'Yever. So it says that Avraham Avinu, V'itan Lohi Maisa Mikola, Avraham Avinu gave him Maisa Ksofim, he gave it to support Shem's yeshiva. Maisa Ksofim is supposed to be to support Lomdei Torah. That's the original statement in the Sifrei. And the Pasuk, Aser Te'aser is called Tvaz Arecha, Yotze Asod Hashana Shana. Why does it say twice Aser Te'aser? So we mentioned many times in Machlek, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel hold Dibbe Torah Kedushem B'Yod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, the way people speak common spoken language. So when people talk, a lot of times they say things twice, they repeat words, they repeat phrases unnecessarily. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, you don't have to be so medayik every word, every letter in the Sefer Torah. And we don't accept his opinion. We follow Rabbi Akiva, that whenever you have the Shonis Kfulim, Hanik Nasin Titan Pasach Tiptach Mos Yumas. Yeah. So whenever you have a Kefa Loshen, like over here, Aser Te Aser, so we darshan Loshen is Kvudim. So what do you darshan Aser Te Aser? So the Sifrei darshans you should give, not only the Pshutas on Mikra is talking about Maisris from the Paris that grow in Eretz Israel. So the additional level of interpretation, the Kefa Loshen goes on to give my success and for Lomdei Torah, to support those who learn. Most of the, there is a minority opinion, there are three different opinions regarding my success. There is an opinion my success is a din derais, and it's a real drasha gemura. That's the Ravid. The Ravid seems to hold like that, that my success is a din derais. But that's not the accepted opinion at all. There's one opinion that my success is a din derabbanan, and the generally accepted opinion is that it's not even a din derabbanan. It's a recommended Midas Chassidus. And that's why there's a Tshuva Sefer Imer Yosha Bar Amer Arik. He was a prominent Poisek in Galicia after the First World War in the 1900s. So he has in his Tshuva Sefer Imer Yosha that the first time a person gives Maisik Sofim, he should either have in mind or say explicitly, Beli Neder. So in case 1 year it'll be difficult for him to give a Maisa Ksofim, he won't be able to afford it. So strictly speaking, can't afford it, you're not mechuyev to give. But he recommends that the first time you do any time, you do a Midas Chassidus, the first time you should say Beli Neder, so it won't be obligatory. Because if you do a Minig Toiv once, and you plan to continue doing it for the rest of your life, or you do it three times in a row, you're not even thinking about the future, what you're going to do. So then it becomes binding mitam neder. Min ha'ketov is binding mitam neder. The Beis Yosef says like that. We learned the beginning of kol habosa. So there was a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. When you wash entilas yadayim for bread, how much do you have to wash? So Rashi shita is you have to wash till the wrist, and Tosfos shita you only have to wash till the knuckles. So our meaning is that we wash till the wrist. So the Beis Yosef writes the first time a person washes. A person takes a neder when he's 5 years old, 10 years old, it's not binding, even if he knows what he's talking about. But mufal asamach liyisha, yeah, before bar mitzvah, then the nedarim will be binding. So a boy becomes bar mitzvah at 13, a girl becomes bas mitzvah at 12. So year before, that's called mufal asamach liyish. If he's a der lishemi noda, lishemi higdish, if he knows what he's talking about, he understands what a neder is, so then nedar of nevdokim, then the neder will be binding. We ask him, did you understand what you were talking about? So just like the Dorim will be binding, so too a minig that he's going to have is going to be binding as well, because the minig is binding with the Rabbanim, mitam neder. Menater, it's not a neder, because you need levate bisfasayim. But with the Rabbanim, we treat it like nigre hegdish, just like hegdish is chal b'machshava. So with the Rabbanim, we treat all the minig toiv, we treat every minig toiv as if it would be hegdish. So the Beis Yosef says like that, the first time after a boy reaches the age of 12 or a girl reaches the age of 11, the year before bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, so the first time they wash ntilas yadayim till the wrist, they should have in mind, or better yet, to say, b'li neder. What b'li neder? B'li neder that I'm washing till the wrist, because mikra din, I'm only mechiv to wash till the knuckles, because when there's going to be a problem on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, Rechitza Zosa is only allowed to wash to the extent that is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary when you wake up in the morning is really only till the knuckles, not till the wrist. You say B'li Neder, so on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you won't wash all the way till the wrist. We don't have the practice to say B'li Neder, because before the boys reach the age of 12 and before the girls reach the age of 11, they already taught us when the kids were Shulchan Aruch that all year long you wash your hands till the wrist. Now Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, you wash till the knuckles. So we don't know the reason why, but that's what it says in the Kitzer. So everybody knows that it's like it's built in. It's built into our routine, to our practice, that all year long we wash till it's a dime in the morning, or you wash for bed, you wash till the wrist. And Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, when you're washing your hands in the morning, you don't wash, so you don't say B'li Neder. You don't have to say B'li Neder, because that's built into the mini. So that's what Rameh Arik recommends. We really hold that's a taz and the end of Shin Lamed Aleph. Shin Lamed Aleph is a very long simon in Yerideya, all about Hafra, all the mitzvahs Hafliyas Baritz in one simon. Because there were hardly any Jewish, in the days of the Beis Yosef, there weren't too many Jewish farmers. Beis Yosef was not a farmer. He was sitting and writing Shulchan Aruch and Beis Yosef and Kesef Mishneh. And the others were writing piyutim and l'chadoidi. They were busy doing other things. They were not farmers. The days of the Torah was written in Europe. In the days of the Torah, none of these things were relevant. So the Torah put everything in one simon, Shin Lamed Aleph. Now everything is very relevant. So Shin Lamed Aleph should be a few svarim about all the dinim of Shemitah, and Yovel and Shumas and Mises and Leket Shik Chempeh, all the mitzvot to his bar. So there in Shin Lamed Aleph, there's a Taz. So the Taz talks about, what about Maisek Sofim? Is Maisek Sofim? So he says, we don't hold that it's their Isa, we don't even hold it's their Rabbanon. We hold it's a recommended Midas Chasidus to give Maisek Sofim. So that's the Rivet is Masig on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say that Yitzchak Yifrish Maiser is the Rambam? The Rambam is just quoting a Bereshish Rabbah, a Medish Rabbah. Why did the Rambam write that the first one to be Mafrish Maiseris was Yitzchak? I, Avram Avinu, says, Vayitan la Maiser Mikael, that Avram Avinu already gave Maiser Ksofim. So the Naiser Kelim on the side of the Rambam's in Hilchas Malochim. When he quotes all the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and then he says, that's where the world was going from the days of Adam Arish until Noach. There were six mitzvahs, then after Noach, there was the seventh mitzvah, Vayit Menachai, then Avram and Yitzchak Yankiv. So the Rabbit is Masig over there, that Maisa already existed by Avram Avinu, he gave him Maisa Ksof. So the Mefarshim say, the Rama holds a Maisa Ksofim is not Midin Maisa, it's Midin Tzedokah, it's a different din. It's not a Chelek. The Ravid apparently thinks that Maisa Ksofim is a din of Maisa. The Ravid in the Kos of Shom, the Ravid wrote Hasogas on the Balamor. They learned Per Chavrusa, so they wrote Hasogas on each other. So the Rabbit has Asogas on the Balamor, and the Balamor has Asogas on the Rabbit, Sefer Balei HaNefesh. That's on the laws of Taras HaMishpocha and the laws of Mikveh and Hilchas Tvila and Chatzitza, all the dinim that that apply to Taras HaMishpocha. So the Balamor has Asogas on the Ravid Sefer. So the Ravid in his Kosav Shom, his Asogas on the Balamor at the end of Chulin, is a Sefer Kafta Beferach, but this is quoted. Because we don't have the cost of Shom on the end of Chulin. It wasn't printed yet. Maybe it's somewhere in the world, but it hasn't yet been printed. We had the cost of Shom on a few Masichtas, but it's missing. So far, it's still missing on Chulin. So, but the Sefer Kafta Beferach, which was written in the days of the Rishonim, some of the Balei HaTosfos made Aliyah. So the, one of them wrote a whole Sefer about all the mitzvahs, Tatlis Varetz. That's called Kafta Beferach. So the Kafta Beferach quotes this, Hasogas HaRavid, the Kos of Shom in the end of Chulin, where he develops the idea that Maisa Ksofim is really a dinner, Maisa Oni, and you're not Yotze if you donate the money to a hospital or you donate Maisa Ksofim to a yeshiva or something like that. The Sifrei says Maisa Ksofim is to support Lamdei Torah, but the Ravid holds that it's a din, not like the Sifrei. He holds that it's a din of Maisa Oni, and just like Maisa Oni, you can't give the money to support a yeshiva, you have to go give it to Aniyim. So my successor on the yotz if you give it to Aniyim. That's a chiddush. So the Ravid sounds like he holds that my successor is the din deraisa. So that's what the Taz writes in Shin Lamed Aleph in the end of Yeridei. We don't hold like the we don't hold that as deraisa. We don't even hold that as the Rabban. We hold that it's a recommended midas chasidus to give my successor. So the So the Rambam, because of that Medrash Rabbah, the Rambam interprets the Machlokes HaTanaim, Kufam and Beis differently. Not the way Tosfos understood that the Machlokes is historical Machlokes. When was the mitzvah of Gid Anosh given? Was it given in the days of Yaakov Avinu, right after the Malach broke his leg? Al Kein Leoch Menezdoz Gid Anosh means right away. Or was it only given after Marmit HaSinai? So the Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Rambam says, for sure, the mitzvah of Gid Anosh was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. That's the Medrash Rabbah that he quoted. That's he's the Medrash, and Rav Soloveitchik interpreted why. What is the Medrash pushing to say that it was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu? Because it was Zachates Bisi Yaakov. There was a separate bris, means that Yaakov Avinu had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushana B'mitzvah Sivitzivon. So it must be that Avram was given an additional mitzvah. Mila and Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah. The opportunity to be Mafresh Trumas Amaisvus or Maisvus. And Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah. So what's the Machlokes HaTanaim? So the Rambam, we spoke about. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos explains, Machlokes says, why do we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Gid Anosh? Is it because it was given to Yaakov Avinu and it's binding the Doris? Or should we say no? Yaakov Avinu was a Navi, and the other Navim were only given Hayroah Shor. And Nevuah by definition means Hayroah Shor. And Moshe Rabbeinu also sometimes was given a Hayroah Shor, but many of the dinim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu were dinim of the Doris. So the din of Gid Anosh was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Doris, the din of the Doris, and that's why it's binding today. It's no longer binding because of the fact that it was given to Yaakov Avinu. The days of Yaakov Avinu was only as a Hayroah Shor, but then it was repeated at Har Sinai, so now it's binding because it was repeated. So you can't argue the case like Rabbi Yudah does. Ba'alom ibnei yankif ne'asa gid anosh v'adayim behemet tmeya muteres lahem. Behemet tmeya, the elephant and the pig was mutter in the days of Yaakov Avinu. So therefore the gid anosh, the elephant and the pig and the horse was usher. So therefore it should remain usher. No, that's gid anosh as a hayro ashur. From Har Sinai and on, the gid anosh is a mitzvah l'daris. It's a different chiyuv. From Har Sinai, that started a new din. So that's why we understand the pasuk, like Reb Shimon said, Gid Anosh only applies to an animal where the rest of the animal is kosher. Only the Gid Anosh is us. Doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. You can't argue the point and say, but for so many generations, it did apply to pigs and to elephants and to horses. That was a Hayroah Shor. In Har Sinai, everything changed. So again, the Lashon HaGemara is that according to Reb Yudah, The Lashon HaMishnah and Kufa Mev Halom Ibn Ayankiv Ne'esar Giran Asha. But the Lashon HaGemara is that that Giran Asha was given to Bnei Noach. That's the Lashon HaGemara and Tzadik Amir Aleph. On the third line from the top, the Giran Asha is Noach B'Bnei Noach. What does it mean B'Bnei Noach? So Tesis Dibam Aschal Kochim and Tzadik Amir Aleph. Tesis has two pshat. So the first pshat is when you say it was given to Bnei Noach, it doesn't mean all the Bnei Noach were prohibited from eating Giran Asha. It only means the children of Yaakov Avinu, the Jewish people, it was a they were not allowed to eat Giran Asha. But it doesn't apply to the other Bnei Noach. Then Tesis has an about face. The second half of the Tesis there, they say, and even if you say not so, it sounds as if some the Rabbeinu Yonah there on Sanhedrin on Daf Nudes adopts the second position in Tesis. That Kodem Matan Torah Taka the din of Evim, the din of Giran Asha applied even to all the Bnei Noach. No one was allowed to eat Giran Asha. It says in Chumash, Alkein Leyocha Bnei Yisrael. That's because after Matan Torah, the din changed. But Kodem Matan Torah, the din applied even to all the Bnei Noach in the world. That's how the second day on Tosfos is. But when it came Har Sinai, since this was a mitzvah, Shenemra of Avai Nishnas, the mitzvah of Giran Asha was given before Matan Torah, and it was not repeated at Har Sinai. So Mikan V'Yelach, after Maimon Har Sinai, it only applies to Bnei Yisrael, doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, like the din of Piri V'Rivya. Kodem Matan Torah, the din of Piri V'Rivya applied to everybody. The mitzvah was given to Adam Rishon and to Noach, and after Matan Torah, no longer applies to the Yom HaSod. The nature of the mitzvah changed. It used to be to populate the world. Puruvu Milas Ha'aretz B'Chib Shua. And after Matan Torah, the Rebbeinu Shlom decided there's enough population in the world. We don't have to populate the world anymore. And he said that he changed the whole nature of the mitzvah. It only applies to Bnei Yisrael. And the nature of the mitzvah, I'll be pashtus, that's how the Magen Mishnah learned. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So the Yisrael is only it's in the mitzvah if he has children who are Jewish. That's the Magen Mishnah's comment on the Rambam, that the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yechanan. In the end of Perek Habal Yavimta, there's Machlek Zabiechan Rish Lokish, and in the end of Perek Yesh Bechor, in Bechor is also Machlek Zabiechan Rish Lokish, same Machlek is Agershin is Gayer, Behoyal Abani Ben Ochri Yuso is the Yotze Piri Rivi with the children that he had before. So the Rambam sounds like he says, we paskin like Rabbi Yechan, you are Yotze, provided that the children converted. So the Magen Mishnah writes, it's a double poshut. You're not Yotze the mitzvah Piri Rivi with non-Jewish children. All nature of the mitzvah is to have children to transmit Yiddishkeit to those children. So the so that's what that's called a mitzvah shenemra v'loy nishnas. Mitzvah that was given Kodem Matan Torah was never repeated at Har Sinai. So after Maimon Har Sinai, it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. So the second opinion in Tosfos is like the Rabbeinu Yonah there in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes. We have the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says also like that, that Kodem Matan Torah, the din of Giran Asha applied even to the Bnei Noach, like the simple reading of the Gemara. But after Matan Torah, it no longer applies to the rest of the Bnei Noach. It only applies to Bnei Yisrael. There's a Tosfos, there's a funny Tosfos in Pesachim Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the Rav Maschil Reb Shimon. Tosfos has a kasha from the Rimei or Lantz. It's unclear whether the Rimei is Rabbeinu Yosef Meir Lantz or Rabbeinu Yankov Meir Lantz. There were two Balei Tosfos from Lantz. In his kasha, he assumed that Giran Asha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, still applies Bizman Hazeh to all the Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach are not allowed to eat Giran Asha, even Bizman Hazeh, and it didn't change at Har Sinai. So the Rebbe tells him, no, that it's not correct, that for sure Bizman Hazeh, the din of Giran Asha, doesn't apply to the Bnei Noach anymore, even if you should say he couldn't, even if you should assume like the second opinion here, that Kodem Maimon Har Sinai did apply to all the Bnei Noach, but after Matan Torah, for sure it doesn't apply. So that's a question that Rimi Arlantz really held otherwise. So it's just he was asking Akasha and they restraightened them out. Does that count as another sheet? I thought that Pashta says there is no such sheet. I thought that was the Rimi Arlantz was a Talmud and he asked Akasha. And they told him that it's not so. Yeah. So here the Gemara discusses it. Tzadik coming up, the Gemara is discussing the topic of Isa Chalal Isa. We discussed it a little bit. So we say that there are three exceptions to the rule. If you have an Isa Basachas, they're both Chal. The Gemara talks a lot over here about when is it Basachas and if it's not Basachas, which one came first, whether the Issa Hegdish Kachim came first, or the Issa Gid Anoshe came first. Good, we discussed that a little bit yesterday, the day before. And then you have, so one exception to the rule is an Issa Basachas, they're both Chal. And the other two exceptions are Issa Moisef and Issa Kolo. So what are examples of Issa Moisef, Issa Kolo? So we started saying a little bit yesterday, let's talk a little bit more. It's important, Halacha L'maaseh. Let's say I marry a girl whose parents are divorced or the father passed away. So when I marry the girl, the mother-in-law is Asura to me. That's Chamoso. Ishabita is an Issa Chamoso, Srefa. But then my mother-in-law remarries. So she's Chamoso Benasas Eishesish. So when I marry the daughter and the mother-in-law is single, there's only an Issa Chamoso. When the mother-in-law remarries, now she becomes an Eishes Ish, so no one's allowed to live with her. So we consider the Iser Eishes Ish is Chal on top of the Iser Chamoso, that's an Iser Moisif. Because the first Iser, when I marry her Chamoso, she's only Asura to me. She's not allowed to marry me, that's all. Anybody else, she's single. Her husband died, her husband divorced her, so she can marry anybody she wants. She can only not marry me because I'm her son-in-law, that's Isha Abita. But then later she becomes an Eishes Ish, she remarries. So that's an Iser Moisif, because the second Iser on the mother-in-law includes many more people, includes millions of Jews all over the world. The Jews, non-Jews, she just became an Eishes Ish. Not allowed to live with anybody now. So that's called an Iser Moisif. What if it would be the reverse? What if I marry a girl whose parents are married? The girl has parents, they're married, so she's an Eishes Ish. The mother-in-law is an Eishes Ish. Then I marry the daughter, so she becomes Chamoso. So the Issa Chamoso is only Chal on me. So the first Issa Eishes Ish was on everybody. She's not allowed to live with anybody. And now the Issa Chamoso is only on me, so it's much smaller, it's much less than the first one. However, the Gemara says, when I marry the girl, not only does the mother become Asura to me, her sisters also become also to me, if she has sisters, or if she has children, if the girl that I marry was previously married and she had daughters from her previous marriage. So Isha Bita, so when I marry a girl whose parents are married, so the mother-in-law was Eishes Ish, Venasis Chamoso. So Eishes Ish, Venasis Chamoso is called an Issa Koilo. Why? Because the second Issa Chamoso is called together with a whole picture. When I marry a girl, her mother, her sisters, and her daughters become asa to me, and her granddaughters all become asa to me. So that's an Issa Kailo. The migu that the second Isser is chal on all the other women, if the other women exist. The Gemara says, if the other women exist. If she has sisters, or she has daughters, or granddaughters. So since the second Isser is chal on the sisters, achizishta b'chayeho, and Basishtai, so it's also Chal on the mother. Even the mother is already Asura to me because of Eishes Ish. That's called an Issa Kolo. So the Achrayim point out, if she's in a Chamoso first, Venasas Eishes Ish, we call it an Issa Moisif, because the second Issa is much more serious, that it asks her to more people. And if it's the reverse, it's first Eishes Ish, Venasas Chamoso, then we call it an Issa Kolo. That's because we're looking from the perspective of the man. What if you look from the perspective of the woman? So then it's going to be the reverse, slowly. From the perspective of the woman, if it's going to be Chamoso, Venasis, Eishes, Ish, Nachamol, I marry a girl whose mother is divorced. And then the mother remarries. So if it's Chamoso, Venasis, Eishes, Ish, the second Iser of Eishes, Ish is not more Chomer. It's Chal on more people. When my mother-in-law remarries, but at the time I married her daughter, she was single. She was a Grusha or an Almona. So I marry her daughter, she becomes Isha Bita, she becomes Chamoso. And then she remarries. So then the second Issa, Eishes Ish, asks her to more men in the world. So the second Issa is Chal on me, migu that I'm together with all the other people. So that's really a koilo. Before, when we were looking from the perspective of the man, so we said if it would be first chamos of an asus eishesish, that would be an isa moisif. Because the second isa on her, the second isa on the woman, is asus her to everybody in the world. So that's an isa moisif. Second isa is much more inclusive. But looking from the perspective of the woman, that would be an isa kolel. It wouldn't be an isa moisif. So why does the Gemara always only go from the perspective of the man? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has two volumes of Gilyoni HaShas. He's a horus that he wrote on the margin of the Gemara. And Mar Mekayim is to Rishaynim and to Achrayim. He was a big baki, a fantastic baki. So he quotes from one of the Achrayim that since the Chumash writes all the prohibitions of the forbidden marriages from the perspective of the man, that's the halacha. We always view it from the perspective of the man, not from the perspective of the woman. Even to determine whether it's an Issa Moisef or an Issa Kailol, always has to go from the perspective of the man, because that's the way it was written in the Chumash. So that's it's a little helpful in figuring out all the different Gemaras. Here on Tzadik Amid Aleph, we're not going to go through the whole Gemara. The Gemara presents what seems to be a contradiction between the two Psukim and the Yukim. The Pasuk says, V'yikta koinas ha-koil ha-mizbecha. The coin burns everything in a korban oila. V'yikra starts with the korban oila. It burns everything. The other Pasuk says, V'asisa ola secho a korban oila. We burn everything. It says, ha-basa v'hadam. Why only ha-basa v'hadam? But the other Pasuk says, V'yikta ha-koil. V'yikta ha-koinas ha-koil ha-mizbecha. So the Gemara says it seems to be a contradiction. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it goes like this. If the Atzamas and Gidim and Karnaim and Tlofim, the parts that are not Basar, if they're still attached to Basar, so you don't detach it, you put it on the Mizbech. If it's still Mechuba, you put everything on the Mizbech with the Atzamas and Gidim and Karnaim and Tlofim. But if you detached it already, then you say only habasa ba'adam, asisa lasecha, only the basar. Once you cut off the kanaim and the tlofim, you don't have to be makta them on the mizbech. Then the Gemara says, but other tanaim disagree, machlokes ha-tanaim, whether that's true. So if you hold that, even if you detach the kanaim and the tlofim, you still have to be makta them on the mizbeach. So why does the other pasuk say habasa ba'adam, only the basar? The Gemara says, no, that goes on a hadurei pokim. That's an important din. Adure pokim. Pokim means you put something on the mizbech that it should burn, and then it started to burn and it fell on the floor. It was pokim me'agavi ha-mizbech. So do you have a din la-hadure pokim? You have an obligation to pick it up from the floor to put it back on the mizbech. So if the whole thing is burned through, let's say there was a piece of flesh on the mizbech, and the whole thing is burned through and through, it's all ashes. It's all ashes, efer. So that's, you're ready when mekayim haktorah. So you don't have to put it back on the mizbech to burn some more. It's all ashes. What if it's only charred on the outside? On the inside, it's still raw meat. So then the din is that it's not yet full haktorah. You have to pick it up on the floor and put it back on the mizbech. That's called ahadure poiken. What was baka? It fell on the floor, you bring back. Unless the Gemara learns that from psukim, that chatzois oise ikul. It's considered mu'ukal. Mu'ukal with an I means it's considered is. If it comes midnight, chatzos, when it comes midnight and something flesh from the mizbeach was charred on the outside and on the inside it's still raw, so if it was on the mizbeach at the time of chatzos and then it fell on the floor, so then it's considered me'ukal. Chatzos is oisa ikal. But if it fell off before chatzos, so you have to put it back on top of the mizbeach unless the whole thing is all ash, unless the whole thing is fully burned through and through, then it already is mu'ukal. So you don't have to put it back. So the details of the dinim of Ahadurei Poken are in Zvachim. Here the Gemara just happens to mention it. But it's an interesting din, because when you learn Brachos, the first Mishnah, so the Mishnah has a din with the Rabbanan that you shouldn't eat chatos min ha-teres necho yom v'layla till alos ha-shach mid the Rabbanan. So they said you shouldn't eat it after Chatzos. Korban Pesach shouldn't eat after Chatzos. So usually we assume called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. So where is there a din deraisa? When you make dinim derabbanan, the building blocks of the dinim derabbanan have to be dinim deraisa that exist already. Where is there a din deraisa that depends on chatzais? See, if you hold like Rav Lozim and Azariah, so chatzais is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach. Okay. But Tosis is not sure whether we pass on like Rav Lozim and Azariah, like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds chatzais by Korban Pesach is only made the Rabbanan. So where do you have a concept on the level of deraisa, of chatzais, that you should say, call the Tikkun Rabbanan, okay, and deraisa Tikkun, you're using the building blocks that exist on the level of the Raisa. So here's a din. The din of Bahaduri Poikan, Chatzais, Oisa equal. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Whatever Bisar Karbonis was on the Mizbeach at midnight, and it's all charred on the outside, it's just raw in the inside. So if it fell off of the Mizbeach, after Chatzais, we learn out from the Psuk can be considered as if it were all Me'ukal. Then there's no longer a din of Bahaduri Poikan. Yeah, we have to put it back again. Now the next two blot gemara, there's a lot of agarata, but I'd like to say a few little bit comments on it. So the Tosfos on Tzadik on the base, the Ramaschal Shlosh Meis Kohanim, the gemara says that at one time they had to be table the pareches because it was mekabel tuma. So Tosfos quotes two girsas in the gemara sof perakama de beitza. If you double on the base, one gear says mipnema vilain tame, one gear says mipnema vilain osur. If you have curtains, so the one gear says, why is a curtain mekabel tuma? A curtain, kelim a mekabel tuma. Begodim a kelim, so begodim a mekabel tuma. But a curtain is not a beged, so why should it be mekabel tuma? So according to that gear said, the only reason why a curtain is mekabel tuma is because pnei shashamish mischamim kenegdo. Sometimes a person is not dressed warm enough and it's chilly in the house. We never suffer from cold. We have central heating all the time. But years ago, there was always a problem. It was cold in the house. So sometimes a person would lean on the curtain and wrap himself in the curtain. So therefore, the curtain is mekabel tuma because it's considered like a beged. And a beged is a kli, so a kli is mekabel tuma. So if that's the reason why a vilon is mekabel tumah, so Tosfos has a murderous kasha, the pareches says hegdash, so you're not allowed to use hegdash to wrap yourself. So why is the pareches mekabel tumah? So that's Tosfos' kasha. So Achrenim talk about that kasha. So Tosfos quotes, however, there's another girsa there in the Gemara, mipnei vilon osur. It's not talking about curtains on mekabel tumah because it is considered a kli, even if you don't have mishamish mischamim kenegdo. But the Gemara is asking, "Mipnei ma vilain osam mitam shatnas? Shatnas only osir bilavisha oba ha'alo. If I wear a jacket that shatnas, or I use a blanket that shatnas, beggar climb shatnas lo yale alecha." The Gemara, beginning of Yivam, talks about levisha and ha'alo, two prohibitions in shatnas. But to have a curtain of shatnas, so what's the problem? There shouldn't even be an isa de rabbanan. So the Gemara says, "No, since sometimes the shamish will warm himself, someone who's chilly and doesn't have a sweater on, will wrap himself up in a curtain." So therefore they prohibited using shatnas for any curtain, lest by mistake a person will use it to wrap himself, to warm himself. So that's also a problem. That's the Gemara. So that poses a problem as follows. When a shul orders a pareches from the manufacturers, if you don't give them instructions, I think it's over 90% of the time they'll automatically send you a pareches that has shatnas, because the pareches in the Beis Hamikdash had shatnas. So zecher to the Beis Hamikdash, they ruba the ruba of the pareches and that they manufacture always have shatnas in them. So years ago, there was no problem because the pareches was a tashmishi kedusha. Pareches in the shul was a tashmishi kedusha. That's the Gemara in Megillah says, if you have a tashmishi kedusha, let's say you have a mentala of a Sefer Torah, or you have a shulchan that you put the Sefer Torah on, or you have an Aron Kodesh where you place the Sefer Torah. So not only does the Sefer Torah have kedusha, this the Aron Kodesh or the mentala also has kedusha. It's tashmishi kedusha. What if you have a pareches which services the Aron Kodesh? It's mishamish the Aron Kodesh, which in turn is mishamish the Sefer Torah. So that's twice removed. That's tashmish ditashmish. So the Gemara says Tashmish, the Tashmish doesn't have any Kedusha. So the Gemara asks, so how come we assume that the Pareches and the Shul has the status of Tashmish and Kedusha? Isn't it twice removed? The Gemara answers that the practice always was in the days of the Gemara, the Pareches would be taken down on a regular basis from the Aron Kodesh They would put it on the shulchan and place the Sefer Torah on top of it. But b'zman hazeh, it's already many centuries that that is no longer the practice. We have a separate mappa that we put on the shulchan. If you don't have a mappa, people will normally put a talis temporarily. But we don't take down, we don't always take down the parecha. So the parecha is no longer has the status of tashmishi kedusha. It's twice removed. It's tashmish to tashmish. That's why the minig in Europe was a very common minig. They would use the parechas in the shul for a chuppah, for a chasana. They would have four metal rings in the four corners of the parechas. They would hold it up with four poles. They would get married. So if the parechas would have the status of tashmishi kedusha, like it had the status in the days of the Gemara, you wouldn't be allowed to use it for a wedding. So the answer is that we no longer have that practice. We no longer put it on the shulchan on a regular basis and put the Sefer Torah on top of it. So since today, it no longer has a status of tashmishi kedusha, so a person is permitted to wrap himself in the parechas and shul. So really, that's how the Mefarshim write on Yerideya, on the side of the page of Hilchos Shatnas, it really should be prohibited today to make a parechas and shul from Shatnas. Unless you'll say that Ein Hachanami, strictly speaking, the parechas is twice removed, it's tashmish to tashmish, but the common practice is that nobody wraps themselves in the parechas and shul. So maybe since the practice is that nobody does it, so maybe you are permitted to make it from Shatnas. But they say more correct is, the Nisei Kelim printed on the side of the page in Hilchos Shatnas, say more correct is, when you order a parechas from the manufacturers, you should tell them that Yibedavka do not want to have Shatnas. Here on Tzadik Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara has a little bit halacha topic. Machlek is a beauty in the Rabbanon, how much of the Ginah Nasha do you have to eat in order to get Malkus? So the Chachamim say, if you eat a Kazayas, even though the Ginah Nasha has more than a Kazayas, eat a Kazayas, you loike. And if you have such a skinny animal that the whole Ginah Nasha is less than a Kazayas, then it has a din of a barrier. So a barrier, you loike, even if you have less than a Kazayas. So that's, the Gemara has that on the last line on Tzadik Vov and Aleph. My time at the Rabbanan. Why the Rabbanan say that if you eat the whole Ginah Nasha, you like it, even if it doesn't have a kazai, because it has a din of a barrier. So there's a bottom Tosfos there that every line of Tosfos is quoted in Yerideya. They give you the definition of barrier. The din is that barrier has a chumrah. One chumrah is that barrier loy b'teilo. That's a chumrah mid the Rabbanan. I feel the Be'alef like B'teila. And number two, Beria does need a sheer kazayis. He like even less than a kazayis. Tosfos and Brochas discusses, does that din apply to Brocha Achreina? Let's say in order to recite a Brocha Achreina, you have to eat a kazayis. But what if a person ate a whole Beria and it's less than a kazayis? So let's say a person ate a grape. And the whole grape is less than a kazayis. So Tosfos has two opinions. Based on a possible Yerushalmi, sounds like it says that you say a Brocha Achreina if you had a barium. So you have to look through all the klolim here. The Pashtus is based on the definition of Tosis. What's a barium? A grape should not be considered a barium. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi that even if you have, let's say, a tangerine, and you have each section of the tangerine has a membrane around it, so that each section should be a barium. Just like a grape has a membrane around it, so maybe each section of the tangerine should be considered a berry. So that's a discussion. Mishkan Yankov has a true about that. That's a discussion whether berry is relevant to us bizman hazeh or not. The Tosfos on Tzadik Aleph and Aleph, the bottom Tosfos, Mekana Talmid Chacham. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Brochas. What does it say? Daf Nun Dalet has on the side. Gimel Tzvichim Shimor. People will be jealous of others if they're happy. So Chosin is so happy. He just got married. So people will be jealous. How come he's so happy? People will be jealous of a Talmid Chacham. People jealous of the Melech. So these people need Shmirah. So if a person walks by himself, then an Ayin Hara can be Sholet on him. If he walks together with someone else, he has Shmirah, then Ayin Hara will not be Shevet. So that's why the common practice is that during Shivas Yimei HaMishneh, the Chosin doesn't walk by himself, doesn't go to Shul. Chayodim writes, the lazy man's minig, that the Chosin Shivas Yimei HaMishneh doesn't go to Shul, because someone's going to wake up so early to knock on his door and take him to Shul. So some people live, those who live near the yeshiva, they have five young couples live on the same floor in the apartment building. So that maybe they should make up. They should take the chasen to shul in the morning. But that's the minig is that since the chasen needs shmira, he doesn't go by himself in Shiva's Me'amish. Some have the minig that after the oifruf, he has the oifruf on Shabbos, he already needs shmira. Strictly speaking, he's not yet a chasen until he gets married. But some have such a practice. Some have such a practice. Okay. Then the Gemara has the apparent contradiction on Tzadik Aleph on the base. The pasuk says, "Vayikach me avne hamokum ayosem erashoysav." So it sounds like there were a few stones, and then it says, "When he woke up in the morning, vayikach zeben ashesam erashoysav." So first it says there were a few stones, and then it says there's only one stone. So the Gemara says, "Madamish and his kaptzu kolos mabanu l'makam echod." Around 20 lines from the top of Tzadik Aleph on the base. Each one's tainted, alay anich tzadik zerosho. Each one wanted this chus that the tzadik should use the stone as a pillow. And then kula nivlu kech, they all blended in together, and the tzadik, Yankel Avinu, rested on all of the stones. So the Mesilas Yesharim and the Hagdamah to the Sefer points out this Gemara. He says, the Rabbanu Shalom created the whole world to be in the service of Avodas Hashem. So everything in the world yearns to be involved in mitzvah. So each Evan wants Alay Yanech Tzadik Es Rosha. Everything in the world wants to be used for Avodas Hashem. I remember many years ago when a Gera Rebbe passed away. Maybe the Beis Yisrael, I forgot already which one. It was a long, long time ago. I think it was over 50 years ago. So they wrote up in the Israeli newspapers, they wrote up a lot of hanhogas and stories. So they wrote up the following story that he had. One of the Gera Hasidim was a Sefer Stam. He wrote Sefer Torah. And he told the Rebbe that he has a Midas Hasidus. Even a Meikar Adin, he can write a Sefer Torah on parchment that came from a kosher animal, even if it didn't have a kosher shchita, even if it's an avela or treif, as long as it's a kosher animal, it shouldn't be an elephant skin or horse skin. He has the chumra that he only uses parchment that came from high from an animal that's glat kosher. He always checks to see that it should be glat kosher. So the Rebbe told him he thinks that he should not have that kepeda, that everything in the world yearns to be involved in avodas Hashem. So the kosher geshochtana animals that are glat kosher, so religious Jews eat the meat and they get koyach, and the koyach gives them the ability, the strength that they gain from eating the meat, gives them the ability to learn and to do mitzvahs. But if you have an avela, treifa, so it's left out. It doesn't get involved in avodas Hashem. So if you use the high to write Sefer Torah, so then those things will also be involved in avodas Hashem. And everything in the world yearns to be involved in avodas Hashem. And that daf also, the Gemara says, the chaloim that Yankov Avin had, malachim olim yordim bosa. One interpretation is the malachim olim to look at the kisei hakovid, that the dvus diyuchtim she Yankov Avin hachakuka al kisei hakovid. Then they were yordim, the same malachim went up, came down, and they saw that Yankov Avin is sleeping. So bikshu lisakunik, they wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Rav Chaim Volozhiner has an arichas on this, that such a man, they saw that Musti Yukna Chakuka and the Kisei HaKavod has such great potential, and he's sleeping. Such a man shouldn't sleep. He should do Avodas Hashem all day and all night. So Bikshu Lahogra, then the Rabban Shalom says, give him a break, have Rachmanis. He's tired, he has to sleep. Excuse me for a minute, I'll be right back. Okay, that took longer than I thought it would. The Prime Balajim and Nefesh Shachaim has more to say about the bottom of Tzadik Aleph on the base, that the Malachim only mentioned Shem Hashem after Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. After three words, Minay Sosa, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alakenu. After two words, he has a lot about that. And then the Gemara on Tzadik Beis on the base. The Gemara on Tzadik Beis on the base presents the Shita that we're chodlik. We don't pass on like the Mishnah. That we pass on and begin the next time. The Mishnah said, we had that Mishnah already. Yerach Shem is Masha Begidu. The Mishnah on Tzadik Bav on the base says if you cook the big chunk of the behemoth with the Gid HaNasha in it, so the Gid HaNasha says, Yesh Begid HaNasha, sometimes Dina Kibosar, and we pass and it's not so. So it doesn't ask, but yeah, but we spoke about the Ramam and Hilchus Korban Pesach, that you remove the Gid HaNasha after you broil it in order to fulfill Rosh HaKro Baal Kirboi. And the Raibid was Masaka and the Ramam, the Kes Mishnah defended the Ramam. So the Gemara has one opinion on Tzadik Beis on the base. It doesn't make sense to say that there's an Isser Gid HaNasha if ain't the Gid Menas in time. It's like Eitz B'Yalma. So how can you call that Macholas HaSuris if it's not Roy L'Achila? Then Mishnah holds that Dina Kibosar, so it is Roy L'Achila. But the way we pass on La'alach, ain't the Gid Menas in time. So there was one opinion in the Gemara. Rab is of the opinion. We don't pass on like Rab. Rab is on the opinion. When the Torah prohibits Gid HaNasha, it doesn't refer to the Gid. It only goes on the Knoknos. Rashi explains the extension, there's a gid apnimi and a gid achitzain. So the little gidim that connect these two, those are edible. Those are roi lachila. The actual gid anasha ate. So when the Torah prohibits gid anasha, it only goes on the knoknos. It doesn't go on the actual gid because it doesn't make sense. How can it be macholas hasuris if it's inedible? And we don't pass like Rabbi, pass like Ula. Ula Omar, no, Eitzu, you're right, Eitz, it's not Dina Kibosa, Eitz, Gimino, Sintam, and still, a Torah Chiva, Allah, the Torah, the Ika, Dina, Gira, Noshe, is even though it's not Roel Achiva. So the Pashta says, once you assume like that, we have a din in the Gemara and Pesachim in the second paragraph, if you eat Macholos Asuris, Shulo Kederach Achilosai, so we assume the whole Lisa is only Midirabonim. Let's say a person eats, he has tray for hot dogs in the freezer, and they're hard like a rock, hard like ice, and he's eating the tray for hot dogs, he's breaking his teeth by eating the or he just fried the hot dogs, they're burning hot, he eats it when it's burning hot, and he burns his tongue and he burns his lips. So he can't say that the hot dog is nifsa machilos adam. It's not nifsa machilos adam. You take it out from the freezer, you'll defrost it. It'll be roi l'achila. You take it out of the frying pan, it's burning hot, you wait till it cools down. That's not called nifsim achila sodom. But the way you're eating it, you look at derech achila sodom. So since you eat it, you look at derech achila sodom, the whole isav is only midirabbanim. You look at derech achila sodom, is only a midirabbanim. The Gemara says there are two prohibitions where the loshen achila never appears. By basa b'cholim, it says loshen achila gedi. We had a whole yafus at the end of the perek kolabasar to establish that basar b'cholim is asa b'achila, but it never says in the chumash not to eat. Since it doesn't say loshen achila, so basar b'cholim you're not allowed to even shloik derech achilasa. Then the gemara says klai hakerem also. It says pentukdash hamlei azera shetizra tuas hakorem pentukdash pentukareish. It never really says loisachlu. So by basar b'cholim and klai hakerem. Even shaloka derech achilasa, it'll be an isa deraisa. But by all other macholas asuris, we assume that since it says aloshan achila, it's only asur achila kidark. What about gid anasha? If you say the way we assume gid anasha ain't beginning in aistantam, eitzu batoira asrasa. So you're eating, it's always shaloka derech achilasa, and still the Torah says that it's prohibited. So I think the Minhas Chinuch has that idea. He quotes it probably from the place of the Prima Garden. Quotes from one of the earlier Achronim that you look at derech achilasa by Gid HaNasha, mistabed that it should be an Issa deraisa because Gid HaNasha is always a look at derech achilasa. Eitzu la Torah, it's still awesome. Gemara has a lot of details about chelev and dam, a lot of things. It's important if you work in a slaughterhouse, you have to know all these dinim. But Nagel Haloche, Tzarik Dalet Amid Aleph, has the whole sugi, goes Tzarik Dalet Amid Aleph on the base, din of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das is a lot is misunderstood. People think that cheating on an exam is Geneva's Das. I think it's a different isib. I don't think it's Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das, Poshib Shat and the Gemara is, I fool you into believing that I went out of my way to do you a favor, so you will certainly reciprocate, you will do me a favor. And I didn't deserve that favor that you're giving me because I never went out of my way to do a favor for you. Let's say my wife just had a baby, and I walked an hour and a half to visit her in the hospital on Shabbos. And then I hear that someone else is one flight above her. So after I visit my wife who had the baby, I walk upstairs. And I tell the person, I walked all the way an hour and a half in order to visit you in the hospital. So if I don't say that, and he thinks on his own that I walked all the way an hour and a half, so the Gemara calls that, Iude Matei Anafshe. That's the last line on Tzarik Dalet on the base. That's only us. If I say something, I imply that I went out of my way. I just walk upstairs and I say, good job, Shalom Aleichem. I don't explain my wife is downstairs and I walked all the way to visit my wife. He assumes that I walked to visit him. So then that's not a violation of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das is usser. I fool you into believing that I went out of my way to do you a favor. And because of that, sometime in the future, you're going to go out of your way to do me a favor, which I didn't deserve because I never really did you the favor in the first place. So that's Geneva's Das. I'm getting something from you that I don't really deserve. So that's the issue of Geneva's Das. Cheating on an exam, I don't know. Let's say if a student fools the teacher, the student is bored with the class, he can't stand the class, and he comes to the teacher and he says, the lectures are gewaldic, and he learned so much, and he never knew anything, and he doesn't mean anything that he said, and he only says it in order to get an A. So that's Geneva's Das. You fool the teacher into believing that you're a big chassid of his or hers, and you really are not. So the teacher's going to reciprocate and give you a better grade or give you an award at graduation because you're such a star student, and you're not. You didn't enjoy the lectures. So that's an issue of that may be an issue of Geneva's Das. But cheating on an exam is a different issue. Sheker is an issue. Sheker. There's a loisu shakar ishban misan means if I deny that I owe you money, so I'm upset you money. That's loisu shakar. Or to give aid a sheker, that's a different issa. Sana berecha aid shaker, you're not allowed to give aid a sheker. But to tell a lie about something that's not indeed a mamanis, that's the Gemara quotes a pasuk and no, visheris is only asa avla, velo yidabru kosav. That's the mitzvah of halachta bedrochav, mahu afato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chaysamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. All the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the main midah that he has is emes. So we have to preserve our tzel malakim by going v'halachta b'drach, to go in the ways of Hashem. So Hashem malakim emes, he's always honest. So we should be honest also. So it's the cheat on an exam is a different issue. Unless because I cheat, I get the award. I get the award in physics or economics or something. And I took the award away from someone else. That's Mamish Geneva. I'm opposite the other person. I get into graduate school when I didn't deserve. They only have so many spots in graduate school for the excellent students. They really don't excel. So then I'm stealing someone else's spot in the graduate school. I get a job based on the fact that I cheated. And I didn't deserve to get that job. So that's Geneva. But if I didn't take away someone else's parnasa or something, someone else's award, then it's an Issa Sheker. And Issa Sheker is a serious Issa, but it's not the same as Geneva's Das. Then the Gemara has on Tzadikei Amid Aleph, the Gemara has the whole sugya, a Basish and a Salam in her eye, and some people make a mistake. Basish and a Salam in her eye, and the whole Gemara explains, if you leave meat somewhere, and in the days of the Gemara, they assume, well, the Nochri Machashudim ala Gezel. So maybe the Nochri knows let's say now, after some people got sick, some people died from the mad cow disease, at that time they wrote up in all the papers, if it would have been kosher food, it would never have happened, because kosher food, they never shecht an animal that's so sick. So from that time on, a lot of nochrim buy kosher food because they know that it's healthier. Kosher means that it's healthier food. So if I'm going to leave kosher food unattended, and there's a nochri around who's kosher ala gezel, so there's a chashash echlufi. Maybe he'll take the kosher food and leave the ninevela food because he knows that the kosher food is healthier. But let's say there's a hefker table outside of the base medrash. And whoever wants can take whatever, let's say the guard, there's an ochri. Whoever wants can take whatever they want and they don't have to farenfet anybody. They don't have to replace it with something else. Everybody knows that it's hefker, so kol hakodim zocha. So that's not called Boston and Salmanayin. Boston and Salmanayin is if there's a concern that maybe that's if there's a chashash gezel of echlufe, maybe the nochem will take the kosher food and leave non-kosher food. That's not Boston and Salmanayin. That's a chashash the chashurim ala gezel. They're not chashurim, Tosfos says a few times. They're not chashurim to do lahachis. They're only chashurim if it's superior quality, if it's more expensive. The kosher meat is more expensive or better quality than the non-kosher meat, then the chashurim ala gezel. But if they don't have to replace it, it's on the hefka table, they don't have to replace it. So that's not bus and salmonine. What would be a problem would be if you have animals roaming around. Maybe an animal took the kosher meat and replaced it with trefa meat, not with intentions of gezel. The behema doesn't have so much seichel. So that's bus and salmonine. But in the base medrash, next to the base medrash, we know we don't have any orvim, we don't have any birds flying around there, we don't have any weasels walking around over there. So there's no issue of bus or salmonine. It doesn't apply. Am I okay now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There's a machlekes whether we paskin this din a bus or salmonine. That you have to be chashur. Tosfos says that Rab's din, the whole thing is a wild chumrah. The whole thing was a wild chumrah that they made because of a ma'aser shahaya. The Gemara tells this story. Okay, I'll have to stop here because at 1:30 I'm supposed to join a program on kashrus for the smicha students. I think it's open to all the students in the yeshiva. Okay. I believe that tomorrow is Thursday. Tomorrow we'll continue about 12 o'clock or so. We're not going to read every line here, but we'll go through the important tesis. Okay.
Rabbi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case where Ger, why don't we say that Ger Sheneskar Kikatan Shenayla Dami by the case of Puruvu?
Right, that's why Rich Lokish argues. He says, Cotton Chanel Adama, so you're not related to the children anymore. Right, that's right. His argument. So it's very unclear why Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. So they have someone wrote up and typed up the Shurim from Abdelbel Soloveitchik Amchoris on that Gemara. So see, he says something. He says, he only said Gershon has got Cotton Chanel Adama when the Dinim by the Israelim and the Nochim are not the same. But the dinim are exactly the same, then you don't say kikot nishanel adami. So he says that since the Peskoda Matan Torah, the din of Piribrivi applied to the Nochem as well, even though after Matan Torah, it no longer applies to the Nochem. But since we used to share the din in common, so we don't apply kikot nishanel adami to Piribrivi, because the dinim are not that different. And what Yerusha is so different, Yerusha is different, because by the Nochem, Bein Abbas Yerushan equally, and the Bechor doesn't get Pishnaim. So the Dinim are always so different that they say Kikot and Shanal. The list of relatives who are not allowed to marry is also different. And Kroiv Makoshal Eid is by Nochrim. So those are the three places where the Gemara says Kikot and Shanal are Domi. By Kroivim Akoshal Eid is together. And Yerusha. And but Piri Rivia, since then Rachum used to have that din. So it's not so different. So therefore, it's problematic. I would have said Lakish Lakish. I would have said Kegotten Shenaladon. But the Gemara said Rabbi Yechon has a reason why he holds it doesn't apply. The question is better than the answer. I'm not sure what the answer is. Yeah. Good.
Thank you. Okay.
The next year is on the same Zoom link?
What do you say?
The next year is on this same Zoom link?
I got